Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yes, almost to the weekend, Andy Buckers. It's a beautiful, well, it ain't cold day here in Atlanta. It's warmer. supposed to rain and everything like that. But yeah, we're getting ready closer and closer to the college football playoffs. Obviously, the Falcons are playing this weekend. Hawks back tonight, right?
They are, Hornets.
Yeah, Hawks back. Oh, hell.
Yep.
Them pesky-ass Hornets.
I know. I was just asking Conti, this isn't going to be that once a year Hornets pop up and score 142.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? The pesky-ass Hornets.
Let's hope not.
Let's hope not, but hopefully you get to see Trae Young tonight. And I don't want to say it's going to be, you know, because I think that's the biggest thing people are looking for. I shouldn't say people. Everybody's looking forward to is how does he mesh with how this team's been playing, who loses out on something. Because something's going to get lost because Trae is back. You know, it's going to be less possessions for somebody else. We understand all that stuff. Sure. But it'd be exciting to have him back mixed up with these guys coming in. And hopefully it goes throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think, too, with the three games and four nights, you probably find a way. I think tonight would probably against this team.
Yeah.
And then maybe kind of limit him over the next couple of days because you're gonna bring him back slowly, right? He's been out for 6 weeks, and you just want to be as careful as you can with it, obviously, with this much basketball left. But I mean, you're at Charlotte tonight and then San Antonio at home.
Yes.
All right. Like, kind of play him tonight, maybe let him watch tomorrow night. Then he's got Saturday Saturday, and then he can play Sunday against the Bulls.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There you go. It's like, again, just ease. There's no reason to rush him back and all those different things because this team isn't like that has more than five wins. If they were at the back end, and you're like, oh, hell. We got to get some wins quick, Trae. So you got to play your allotment of 35 minutes a game. You don't have to do that right now, but it'd be good. It'd be real fun to see him out there with these dudes. Right?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think what they've done without him and guys have emerged, and like you said, roles will change. And when the lead dogs comes, shouldn't be anything more than an addition to what they're doing,
right.
Especially offensively. Like they lead the NBA in assists per game,
which is crazy.
Without Trae.
Yes.
I mean, that's a testament to the ball movement and the half court, and obviously what Jalen Johnson has been able to do as a distributor. Like, he's really taken that next step in his game. And I think sometimes we see guys able to do that in the absence of others. I think Zachary Risacher looked much better in the second half of the year last year when Jalen Johnson went out because he was asked to do a little bit more stuff.
Right.
He's
been
okay so far this year.
Right.
It hasn't been a huge talking point because other people have stepped up and the Trae injury and all that. But I think, you know, maybe, you know, we'll see Risacher kind of continue to develop. But yeah, it'll be good. And the Hornets are pretty bad. So barring one of those, because again, it seems to happen every single year where Charlotte makes like 26 threes against the Hawks.
Exactly.
And they go nuts and they score 100.
Is Melo hurt or no?
He's expected back tonight.
Oh, okay.
he's always hurt.
Yeah, that's why I asked. Is he hurt?
He's always hurt. But yeah, he's just like Trae, expected to return this evening.
Okay. All right. So yeah. Okay. So that should be a lot of fun. He's going to be back, you know, doing LaMelo things and
TikTok dances and step backs.
I don't think he does that stuff, does he?
What?
I don't know. The TikTok dances.
I don't know either, but I'd be surprised.
I'd be surprised. But yeah, it's going to be a 25 dribbles round the back. He's going to like roll over on the ground, get up, and then shoot a contested three.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that'll be what he'll
do. And the internet will go wild.
Yeah. Woo! Look at that dude. Look at them shoes. Oh, whatever, man. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then, I mean, obviously, the Falcons getting ready to go out to Arizona. Rob was on with the boys yesterday. Kirk Cousins was on. So I was interesting clips about, you know, I saw one clip, Kirk, at the he was at the podium and he was talking about, you know, the reads and everything. Freaking awesome.
Yeah, that was great.
Freaking awesome.
That was great.
I love the football, like that part of the whole car. Everything else, you can take it, whatever.
Yeah.
But just
that's why
that part right there, it was so damn cool.
That's why Kirk Cousins is still able to play quarterback.
Yes,
like,
it was
and
so
and that's
damn
why
cool.
He's been successful for as long as he has. I mean, that's the best stuff, right?
Yes.
At least, I think, to me and to you. Like, that was a good, solid 2 minutes of not narrative. It wasn't who did this with an injury. It wasn't like – it was just a veteran quarterback giving you game.
Yes.
I was like, oh, that's cool.
Freaking awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was really interesting.
Yeah,
I would encourage people to go out and watch it.
Yes, it was really, really awesome for him to break everything down the way he did because of, you know, the changing of the game, the reads, the processing that you have to be able to make as a goddamn quarterback while the play is happening and while guys are coming to knock your damn head off and things. So, yeah, I thought that was really, really
cool. It was also a great example of what we talked about last year with him. Like, all this – and this is true of all quarterbacks that succeed in the NFL. But, like, in order to have even one play succeed, so many things have to go right.
Yes.
I mean, you got to know what you're seeing. You got to know they're trying to disguise it. You got to know what you're trying to do. You have to communicate it to your guys. Once the play starts, maybe they'll actually reveal to you what they're really doing. And then in a split second, you have to make a decision and deliver it.
And that's what it is, Bonk.
In pinpoint accuracy. Which is why when your ankle's a little banged up and your elbow's a little banged up and your shoulder's a little banged up and you already have a margin that thin because you're not exactly the cannon-armed quarterback that some of these guys are, then that's when the margin of, oh, it got in there, he squeezed it in there, and it was a first down or a touchdown or whatever, and oh, it's intercepted.
Yep.
And that's what happened last year. Was a guy that has all that and needs it all to go just like that.
But the physical part.
Yeah, when the physical lags behind, which is what happened last year and, you know, took longer to diagnose it than it needed to. That's how you go 4 weeks and 9 interceptions and all that and end up getting benched.
Yeah.
He looks healthy now, though.
Yeah, he does. He does. He looks healthy. He looks like, I mean, that was vintage Kirk in that Tampa game, just how the processing and getting the ball out, all the under center things. And he should be able to do it again this week because Arizona's not good. They're not. They're not. They got. I mean, we talked about, you know, and we had Dave on talking about them. They should be able to run a football how they want to. The biggest thing when you're throwing a ball, you got to know where number three is. You got to know where Buda Baker is. But outside of that, they should have a good day. Don't know. I saw Drake was limited at practice. Don't know how much he got done. Hopefully, get an opportunity to get him back out there and you know, and continue to showcase Kyle and things like that. But yeah, I mean, this is one of those games where, you know, just go win the football game. You know, again, they're the same boat as you. They're not playing for anything like that. So you just got to look at it as far as which is better they are.
Dave didn't call it this yesterday, but almost did, because they're playing for the same thing.
Yeah.
Pride and incentives.
Yeah.
It's the Pride Bowl on Sunday afternoon.
Pretty much.
In Phoenix, Arizona.
Pretty much.
Who's got more of it? I'll say the Falcons showed a lot on Thursday night.
They did.
It's whatever, man. Like, I'm not going to throw a parade for trying hard when your season's eliminated because you're a professional athlete and that's what you're expected to do. But we've seen teams not.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And, you know, Dave mentioned yesterday one of the things that you can grade not only the players individually but the coaching staff's ability to reach the players on is what it looks like when the season gets here.
Yep.
I would prefer to never know.
Right.
I would prefer to never know what a team looks like when their season's eliminated.
Because you're not eliminated.
Yeah.
You're
and still I know Dave's not like he too would prefer for it to never happen. Unfortunately, we've had that over the last handful of years. I just, you know, obviously you want to go win the game against the Cardinals on Sunday.
Yes.
There's nothing else to do. I mean, you're either going to win it or lose it.
One more time.
Yeah, I mean,
there's nothing else to do.
And it doesn't matter. Like, if you lose it, there's no benefit. If you win it, feel better and fly home.
And that's the best thing. I mean, but when you're in the situation they are in, that's all you got.
All I'm saying is I hope they do, but I'm also not – that's not a metric that I'm going to use and put too much emphasis or stock in. What they look like once they were eliminated. Cool.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm glad. I'm glad that if they look good again, great.
Yeah, but that's how you take it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it should be evaluated more than that.
Exactly.
You know, I don't think it should be, you know, as far as not giving up on the coach and all those different things. It goes back to something that you say that I always say. You're a freaking professional. This is your damn job. And you get an opportunity to go play a damn NFL game, which is the coolest thing I've ever been a part of. And so you get that rush and all those different things from that. But, yeah, you come in, you win that game, you come back Monday. We'll come in Monday and we'll talk about it and break it down, all those different things. But the truth of the matter is, it's still I'm not going to say it doesn't matter, because it does matter. But as far as you could fighting for something outside of just that win, it's not there anymore.
Right, you're still not going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which is ultimately, again, there's all these little different buckets of matter, right? The game Sunday matters because you're going to play it. Right. Otherwise, don't play it. Right. We're going to play it.
Exactly.
It's going to be on the radio and on the TV, and you're going to watch it. And so from that standpoint, it matters. There's another bucket of big picture stuff of postseason and breaking streaks and trying to play for more than that and living up to potential, blah, 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 all that stuff. And that didn't happen.
Right.
And that has to be evaluated as well, and it will be. These are things that play into what happens next. I just am always it's humans. I mean, we're humans, they're humans, and the people making the decisions are too. What happened most recently is the thing people lean on. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Recency bias is a thing because it's a thing. So you play like this down the stretch, and that might actually matter more than what happened in October and stuff, which I don't think it should. I think the totality of the season should be taken for what it is. But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, it's always funny that you talk about it. It's going to be an NFL game. You know, it's going to be two NFL teams, a team that we cover, that we root for to do well.
I so hope next December we don't have to say stuff
like
this.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things.
Because every year we get here.
But that's the thing about it is, like, what about this organization and teams tell you that we're not going to be here next
year?
Nothing at all.
Hope, and sometime you got to luck out. You know what I mean?
I guess.
Even the Raiders have been to the playoffs, you know, over the last handful of years.
Yeah, they have.
Sometimes the damn Panthers might go to the playoffs this year, you know?
Yeah.
You just, you know, maybe you fall on a fumble every once in a while.
Or maybe
the ball bounces your way.
Or you make the play, or, you know.
Pump the brakes.
You know, or something like that.
Maybe they don't.
Maybe. So. I mean, you know.
Yeah. These... They're going to play the game. Yep. They are. They are going to play the game. We're going to watch it. I think you ought to watch. You ought to listen to it, too. You should definitely, if you're going to do anything, you tune into that pregame show at noon, because those guys are going to be fired up to talk about it as well. I'm going to break it down 6 ways from Sunday. We'll be back. We'll tell you what's trending here on a Thursday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
I don't even know if it is anything to do with Michael. I think certainly I have been under center a lot, and I do feel more comfortable there. I think some of it last year was the mesh with the run game was a little better out of the pistol sometimes. I think there's some internal pressures that can be harder under center, where you get push in your face if you're under center, that can be hard. So there's really pros and cons to both, right? And you kind of have to deal with the good and the bad. I also think with the Achilles, that the pistol at times was more helpful because you didn't have to move quite as much because they're already right there by you. So there were pros and cons to all of it, but I would agree with you that the last, you know, several weeks, just being under center does kind of take me back to what I've done for so long.
There you have it. Kirk Cousins, one of the many questions and answers that he had with Dukes and Bell yesterday on their show in the afternoon. If you want to check that out on the website, 929thegame.com, Dukes and Bell page. Talking about being under center, obviously that's been a talking point this season regarding Penix being in the pistol and now Kirk being more under center since he's come back. Place he's been a lot in his career. Fairly comfortable with it.
Okay. Duh. Did he say anything that we didn't know?
Yesterday? No.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I mean, again, it's one of those things where it makes no sense to continuously go back and forth. It's what they wanted to do. That's why they did it. And, you know, I just like what Kurt said. It has good and bad things about it, because it does have its good and it has advantages and disadvantages in but that's anything, you know. And so, you know, if the people want to continue to just harp on that damn right there over and over and over again, I'll let them go do it, because I, for one, am not going to do it anymore. it is what it is, man. But they got a big game. Kurt's going to be under center because Kurt's been under center and comfortable under center his whole career. That's not something new for him. And if being under center is going to be the rise and fall of this damn organization, then they got a bigger damn issue.
Yeah, well, they do have a bigger issue.
A bigger damn issue.
That's the thing is like I think it's easy for people to see the difference and talk about it.
It's a great difference, but you're telling me they were going to win were going to be in the playoff hunt because Michael would have been under center.
No, I don't. I'm not telling you that.
I know you're not telling me that, but I'm asking a question.
But like, obviously they have a bigger issue,
yes.
Right? Like wherever I just hope Michael Penix is taking snaps at quarterback. In the first quarter of game one next year.
Who gives a damn how it comes?
Yeah, if he's under center in the pistol or the shotgun, we can analyze that once it happens. I just hope Penix is the quarterback week one next year because if he's not, obviously it's one of the many things that they're going to have to navigate this offseason. I do feel pretty confident in saying, and I know they asked Kirk Cousins yesterday about coming back, and he was asked about that in his press conference, and Raheem had that clip yesterday that we played on the show as well about, you know, everything's on the table and all that. We don't even know if Raheem's going to be sitting at the table
exactly
when those decisions get
exactly
made. I highly doubt whoever the people are making those decisions, though, that Kirk will be back at quarterback next year for the Falcons.
I don't think so that and everything like that. But I mean, I don't understand, you know, the questions about the offseason and Rod answering them. And they're like, well, I don't understand. How do you expect him?
Right.
Like,
he's not going to say, well, I don't know if I'm even going to be
here. You know what I mean? Is that what you were looking for? Is that what, when whoever asked the question about that, is that what you were looking for him to say, I don't know, I'm not going to be here? Or
that's interesting. I don't know.
The feeling of, like, he knows that he's not coming back and all those different things. He might be in a point where, in a place where he's like, I know it's over, but I'm not going to freaking, you know, go outside myself and walk around mopey and all those different things.
Sure.
You know, so,
sure.
I mean.
Because it's the reality of his situation, too. We talked about this earlier this week. Like, I think you and I are on the same page as far as I don't think Raheem thinks that his fate is sealed.
No.
I think Raheem either thinks he's back next year either way, because team coaches get 3 years here, at least. Or he thinks that if it's up in the air right now, that he can do some stuff over the next 3 weeks to change the opinion.
And that's a great.
Which is how he should think.
And exactly. That's a great mentality to have.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not going to go out here and act defeated or anything. There's still a possibility that I can still salvage some things and everything.
Absolutely.
And so I'm going to go out there and do that, not sit here and mulk me and be real short and things like that. Like, I don't know.
Right.
We'll see about it in
now,
the offseason.
Again, these are all sort of different. Like, that's how he should feel. That's how everyone in that building should feel. And that's how they should approach the game on Sunday, and I'm sure that they will. The people that are making those decisions, I would assume, aren't simply looking at what happens over the final 3 weeks of the season to determine what they're going to do. To me, don't you know already?
But the thing about it is, which go back to what you just said. They should.
They should know, right?
But I think for a fact that Arthur Blank is evaluating these last four games is going to go into his decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to go into the decision whether to dismiss him or not.
What we don't know is how much it'll play a factor in the decision.
Yes,
and that's what I was saying in the first segment.
Yeah, no, it's going to play. It's going to,
bias is real,
man. It's going to play a part in the decision.
And we've seen it before.
Yes.
We've seen bad Falcons teams finish strong and have that be weighed more heavily than the bad play early in the season.
Yeah, damn sure it is.
And that's where we all have to sort of say, if you're being honest about it, that we don't know. We don't know what they're going to do. You can have your opinion as to what you think they're going to do, but there's no way of knowing what they're going to do next, and all we know is they'll kick it off on Sunday and try to beat the Cardinals. Here's Kalen DeBoer, who's getting ready for a college football playoff game on Friday night, believe it or not, given all the conversation, against Oklahoma, who beat them earlier this year, talking about how this run for Alabama is similar to his previous college football playoff run.
I mean, I just know that across the board, the intensity is just so much fun to be a part of, you know, the playoff environment and, you know, just everyone, you know, the support, whether it's your team inside, the support outside, this is what you work for. You work to get to this moment to where you got a chance to reach your goals. And, you know, every day you're giving everything you can to give yourself the best chance to be successful. And so, well, you just got to make sure we stick to our process and every day give everything you got. One thing that is, you know, nice this week is, you know, you're done with finals and guys are graduation and all that's taken care of. And so, you know, you're just really focused on football. And so that's been really good for our guys to be able to lock in that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a big time atmosphere tomorrow night down in Norman,
Oklahoma. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be so. It's going to be great down there tomorrow night. If Alabama doesn't turn the ball over, they'll win.
That's right.
Because Oklahoma's offense is ass trash.
I do wonder what Mateer's looking like. And that's the biggest 3 weeks.
That's the biggest thing right there, Bunk. If he looks good. Then we can check, because they were rolling. They weren't necessarily rolling, but they were playing better on offense before he had the thumb injury. Right. But if Alabama doesn't turn the ball, they gave him 17 points off turnovers in the last game.
Correct.
And what was the final score, 20 to something?
I think 23-21, something like that. Yeah. And they had a field goal to take the lead late. They missed it. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, if Alabama doesn't shoot themselves in the foot in that game, then they win that game.
Yeah, if they can find a semblance of some run game. Now, the biggest thing with Oklahoma has a national championship winning defense.
They do.
They fly, and they get after you and things like that. It'd be big to have Jam back if he's going to play tomorrow night. Yeah. Not necessarily. Yeah, they need to run the football, but Jam does so much. I mean, Jam can catch the football. More importantly, Jam can protect. Mm-hmm. Jam's really good in pass pro and things like that, because Oklahoma's just going to keep sending dudes.
Yep.
They're going to keep sending dudes at you, and somebody's got to make a play, and it's not going to be one of those things where you're going to sit back and you got to get the ball out of your hand. That's why if Ryan Williams was, you know, himself, he's perfect, because you can get him the ball and he can get out. You saw the couple plays he made against Georgia.
Yeah.
If you can get it to him quick.
He's the guy, honestly, in this game. Like, Jam Miller, for sure.
Yeah.
R. Mason Thomas, the edge for
tight end's back, too.
Didn't play the first time they played. He might be the best player on that great defense. Quavis, the tight end, is back for – now, Jam Miller and Quavis played the first time
they did.
And they still scored 23 points, because that Oklahoma defense is very good. But if Ryan Williams can look like he was engaged in the first half against Georgia, obviously everything kind of went sideways because Georgia took control of that game.
Right.
But, like, he just kind of looked the same kind of, like, bouncy, springy, athletic kid that he looked like freshman year.
Yeah.
And he hasn't looked like that all. You got to think injury is a part of that, right? Or he quit. I don't know. But if he looks like he looked in the first half against Georgia, he could be a huge X factor in this game.
Yeah.
Because he might be the best guy in the game.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and he can do so much with a little. I mean, all he needs is a little seam, and he's going to be out the gate. But, yeah, this is going to be a great game tomorrow night. He's an over-under 38 or something like that.
Whew, yeah.
So it's looking like it's going 20 to 17
right
or something
there,
like that.
Oklahoma's going to win it.
They're going to win it. Alabama's got to find a way. It's still a possession.
Yeah.
To get something in the special teams, get a turnover.
That's
or
a
something
huge
like that.
Because Alabama's kicking game is back to like that early Nick Saban can't count on the kicker.
Right.
Cost him the game the first time. Oklahoma's kicker's first team All-American.
Yes.
Now he wears Daisy Dukes.
He's a thigh guy.
He's got the Hoochie Daddy shorts on, but he doesn't miss.
He doesn't, man. He's a damn good player.
And
man,
if it comes down to that, Oklahoma has the advantage there. So they have a better defense and better special teams.
Yep.
And Alabama's offense has been sputtering. I don't know. Everything tells me to pick Alabama, but also we always talk about last year how the teams with the byes all lost.
Yeah.
Okay. There's nuance to that. All the teams with home games last year won easy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Those games on campus,
yes.
It's still college football.
It's going to be, dude, it's going to be Friday night in Norman, and Alabama's coming to town. It's going to be freaking nuts in Norman.
Not to mention they beat them 2 years in a row.
They have beat them.
They got them twice.
I just think, I got to go back to that part of it. If Alabama plays clean, they will beat Oklahoma. Uh-huh. But Oklahoma is a great defense that forces into those things.
Exactly.
They force you into turning the ball over.
They did it to them. Yeah, I don't know. The more I think about it, I think Oklahoma's going to beat them.
I'll wait till tomorrow.
It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be a pretty football game, but it's going to be a fun one, man. God, I'm looking forward to that game. And then, you know, after that, who knows? I mean, it could be a wild weekend in Tuscaloosa and Ann Arbor. And
yeah, man.
Private flights.
To me, it just seems like they're waiting.
I think so too.
Yeah, it's like Michigan.
I think right now he believes I'm in Alabama. I'm not leaving. Right. Blah blah blah. We'll let him lose on Friday night and deal with that.
And get the message board.
Yeah, because they're not going to fire him, but it might feel like that. Yeah. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk. We'll talk a little bit more about the other playoff games on the other side. Also, the Hawks are back in action tonight as well, so we'll get into a little bit of NBA conversation. First hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
This guy. Don't make him your enemy, Andy.
I won't. I've always been a fan of 50 Cent.
Yeah, but don't make him your enemy, dog.
They played, they must have played in the club 6 times at my senior prom.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That and Remix to Ignition. I don't think they played anything else.
That was a jam, though.
Dude, that song was great.
It was a jam.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the 50 Cent.
Both of them.
Both of them. Oh, yeah, both of them.
Both great.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, but that R. Kelly, though, that Ignition was doot, doot.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Beep, beep.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It was a good, that was a woo banger, Andy.
2003's finest.
But yeah, make sure, yeah, because it just make sure you stay on the good side of him. You remember that that couple, the cheating couple at the Coldplay concert?
Uh-huh, yeah. So,
well, she came out, and she's made a statement since Andy. The funny part is this, because they that just wasn't a one-time thing. They were like, they were booed up and stuff. Yeah. They were like.
That wasn't the first. Yeah. He was holding her with a lot of tenderness.
Yeah, but.
At a Coldplay concert.
But this thing about her statement makes it seem like it was a one-time thing. I made a bad decision. Okay. I had a couple of high noons. She had a couple of high noons, Andy.
That'll do it to you.
And dance and act inappropriate with my boss. Mm. Yeah. And it's not nothing. And it's not nothing. And I took accountability. I gave up my career for that. That is the price I chose to pay. I want my kids to know that you can make mistakes and you can really screw up, but you don't have to be threatened to be killed for them.
Oh, well, that's true.
That's true.
Yeah. No one should have threatened her life nobody should. That.
But no.
Because it didn't affect yours.
Yeah, but how she's making it seem like I was drinking too much. Mm-hmm. With my boss, and he just came up behind me and put his arms around me.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't even like it. I was just acting
I didn't like it.
Did.
I was acting like
I was just, when they start playing Parachutes, you know, I just can't control my hips.
But the thing about it is like, if we didn't find out that they had something already, mm-hmm. I might believe her.
I wouldn't. I saw the video.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
And I'm a body language
expert.
She
got drunk. I got drunk.
That's not a get drunk.
I got drunk. Because you don't.
When you get drunk one time and dance with somebody, there's no tenderness.
The hug from the back is an enduring hug. It is. When a man hugs a woman like that, it's an enduring hug.
Yeah.
Especially when it's around the waist.
Yeah. No, that's not that's a very specific relationship type of hug. That's not a first time.
No.
You've hugged her like that. After.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like that's a cuddle.
Enduring
almost.
Or something like that. Yeah.
That's a.
But no, that's why that was the funny thing he said. I had a couple high noons.
high noons like, come on.
I mean, what is the alcohol content of high noons to have you that drunk?
5%.
With her boss. You kept saying with her boss.
It's a canned seltzer.
Yeah.
That's what that is. Essentially.
But yeah, I had a couple high noons while at a concert with my boss. No, he's your boyfriend.
Yeah, it's your boyfriend.
Yeah,
that's your boyfriend. And maybe, I mean, I don't know, maybe every time you did it, you had some high noons. Maybe. You needed a little high noon to prime the pump. I don't know.
That could be it.
But, yeah, I don't buy that.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I saw that like, yeah, okay.
Lady. Also, like, you don't – here's my thing. Like, I understand it became very public. We're talking about it right now. I don't know. Mostly just making jokes about it. I don't think any of them should have, like, been threatened with their lives or lost livelihoods or anything like that. But that's the world we live in right now. Every life's an open mic, man.
Yeah.
Like, if you're out in public, somebody might find you. If you're doing something wrong out in public, pretty good chance somebody's going to find out about
it. That was karma.
Yeah, probably.
That was God, like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I told y'all to break this off maybe 2 weeks ago, okay?
You knew you weren't supposed
you
to be doing it.
You knew you weren't supposed to be at no right. damn concert with him. And his ad, he probably had about 4 or 5 high noons, Andy.
Oh, he looked like it.
He looked like he was red as hell. Hey, what you call that, drunk face?
Yeah, he had a pretty drunk face.
He had a drunk face. He's like, you know what? My girl looking good over there.
Backstage passes to Coldplay.
This is our jam.
This is our song.
Come here, babe.
Yeah, exactly. But he was holding her like that was
yes.
their song.
Yes. Oh!
If you have a song... then you have a history.
Yes, exactly. And, yeah. And you're like, oh, like the biggest screen in the damn stadium yes. caught your ass.
Now, I do agree. You should instruct your children, whether it's me, you, her, whatever. People can make mistakes, learn from them, and improve.
Yes.
For sure. But I also think that it's important to remember that if you make mistakes like that and you make them publicly, then there can be repercussions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just because you said I made a mistake and I'm sorry doesn't then exonerate you from the repercussions that come along with some mistakes that you make.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because not every mistake is created equal.
Yeah.
You know?
I wanted to give one more shout out because Coach Smiley, he was Isaiah's coach at Central. And he's at Sandy Creek now and won the state championship last night. Wow. Really, right. really fond of that brother, man. So shout out to Coach Smiley. Reached out and sent him a message last night. But, yeah, shout out to him. Really good coach. Really good teacher, man. I think still – I mean, he's not apologizing. He's at Sandy Creek. He got a raw deal at Central. I don't care. My kids don't go to school there no more. But, yeah, so happy for him. And then watching Thomas County Central just bludgeon Gainesville last night. And this kid, this running back that's going to Wake Forest runs – Andy, when I saw the number he ran for last night – I thought that was in the playoffs.
what was it?
It's like 380.
Oh, my.
I was like, oh, damn, for the playoffs. Oh, wow. That's a nice run. No, that was last night.
Wow.
He just ramrodded
Good for him. Good
yeah,
for them.
Man.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
they beat Gainesville, right?
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
That's – I saw – and again, I don't know much about it, but I saw George Foster tweet that there's not a team in the country that could beat that.
Dude, I was talking to Rusty out here. Rusty's like, there's no team – he knows there's no team in this state that could beat them.
Yeah.
Like, that's how good they are.
Well, if you can beat every team in this state –
yeah, then you probably got a good chance of beating most teams in the country, man.
Yeah,
but, yeah, shout
sure.
out to them because, I always talk about that was the standard. Them and Valdosta were the standard.
Yeah.
And watching them just come
Thomas
back.
Thomas County was?
Thomas County
oh,
Central.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. Thomas, they were. Dude, they were powerhouse. A powerhouse. And they showed it last night because they beat the absolute dog out of damn Gainesville last
That's
night.
That's great.
So shout out to them. Are we done we're done with the playoffs now?
I think that's it.
That's it right there?
Those are the state
okay.
championship games.
Okay.
I think there was 2 Monday. 3 Tuesday, yeah. 3 last night.
Okay.
I think so.
Well, good for them and
yeah.
all the winners. And again, it's this damn Georgia football, man.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty damn yeah. good, man.
It's pretty cool.
Pretty
cool. And
good.
It's also, so you know, obviously, there's so many kids that are going on to play, like you said, the running backs going to Wake Forest. There's a lot of kids going to big schools. That was also the last game for a lot of kids.
Too. Yeah, man.
And to go out like that
mm-hmm.
is a very special memory.
Yeah,
and
dog.
Who knows? You might. Maybe you're like a third generation Thomasville graduate
mm-hmm.
or something. You're a legend in that town forever now.
Hell yeah,
you know?
Dude.
Like you go to the bar when you're 45 and talk about that yeah, game.
They are Thomas County Central is like how Jim goes back when he wears the jersey to the game. That's
yeah.
what they do at Thomas County.
Right.
But yeah.
Jim didn't win any state titles.
Yeah, but still Jim's the man when he walks around.
Oh yeah, no, he was 4-0 against Pisgah.
I love when you say that.
And the best thing is Jake was 1-3, so he always gets Jake a hard time.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's like Jake.
that competitive.
But at least he got the one, though. Yeah,
man. What a competitive family.
Small town football.
What a competitive.
It's the best. It's the absolute best.
Did they put the signs on the stores that say, gone to the game?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, definitely. Like, especially for that one.
Right.
That's a huge rivalry game between the two of them. I'm sure the same thing was. It wasn't Thomasville. It was, another team that won or was a part of the state championship that Rusty was talking about. I forget the name of it. I'm sorry. If he's listening, he can text. He was like, there's like 10,000 people in the town, and there wasn't anybody there when they were playing that game.
No.
They were all at the stadium
yeah.
watching.
Yeah, that's the best kind, man.
Cool.
Everybody, and you see it just like on those Friday Night Lights where everybody's driving behind the bus.
Yep.
If the whole town is in the line.
The sheriff
behind
the
bus.
Is leading the way.
Yep.
He's at the front of the line.
Yep.
And then the buses are behind him, and then all the cars are
yeah.
decked out and painted and all that. Yeah, it is. It's special. It's a very special thing. All right. We probably don't have time to get back into the playoff games right now, so we'll wait until a College Football Corner coming up at 12:20. We'll get back. Oh, Rusty just texted me right now. Let me see. Look at that. On-demand info from the great Rusty Manziel. Worth County.
Oh.
Worth County.
Dude,
yeah.
Yes. I've been.
Where's that located?
Dude, wow, God. We were on a bus, Andy. No, we left. It's so crazy because we played them. That was one of our region's opponents. We left the school at like 1 o'clock on school buses.
Close to Albany.
Yeah, it's Albany. Way down there. Yeah. But we played them, and we lost on a field goal. Our kicker missed. And I remember coming back to school on Monday, they were calling our kicker Ray Finkel.
Yeah, you told me that.
I told you that. But, dude, them dudes had gold. Them dudes had gold, like, full goals. Grown-ass men. Like, that team had to be, like, just football players. Mm-hmm. Like, didn't go to class, didn't go to nothing. Like, kept doing, what's my boy over here, Georgia State? Kept doing petitions so they could play.
Yeah.
You can't tell me them dudes weren't 21. You cannot tell me them dudes were not 21. That linebacker, Andy, I swear to you, had a mouthful of goals.
That's crazy.
And hit every damn thing moving.
They got something there called Fat Boys Backyard Barbecue.
Yep.
I bet that's pretty good.
I bet that's good.
I bet they got the
you know, they got the picnic tables out front.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. And the smoke's going 24 hours a day. They also got something called Jackson Soul Food Kitchen. I bet that's pretty good, too.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, all right. Let's head down there. Let's do a remote down there.
It worked, Caddy.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time. All right. So let's do a little NBA here. First, let's hear from Trey. Trey Young. Likely to be returning to is it? Do we know for sure?
No.
Maybe, hopefully, we don't know. Maybe Trey will play tonight. We hope he does, but he'll probably play soon. He had media availability yesterday, and here's one of the things that he had to say.
For me, since day one, I've always felt like I was a puzzle piece to the big puzzle. Like I've never felt like I was the whole puzzle. So I'm not going to come back and do the same thing and just be another piece to the puzzle and try to fit it and make. Fit in and make all this thing work.
Nice. There you go. Nice.
That's the absolute right thing to say.
Yes.
Creative way to say it as well. I'm a puzzle piece, not the puzzle. And for the, it's not the first time, but like probably the first time that's true also. Like he needs to just be a piece to what they have because what they have around him is probably the most talented group since the East Finals team. And I would even suggest that maybe this one's even better.
Yeah, exactly.
They might even be better. So we'll see. This is also the first time that he's been gone for this long and come back and the team's looked like this. So yeah, no, I mean, look, I don't have any doubt that he can fit in and find a way to fit in. Right. I'm just really excited to see what that looks like.
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about it, you know, because of how this team, like you just said, for the most part, throughout Trey's career, if Trey's not in, they're going to struggle.
Yep.
They're going to struggle bad.
The non-Trey minutes have been disastrous.
You know, and they have not done it. They've done the complete opposite. You know, now there's still some holes where, you know, like we were talking, Mike, on Tuesday about, you know, the bench scoring, moving somebody out of their starting lineup to help the bench scoring and those things like that. And so, yeah, it has your advantages and everything. But that's the one thing. And when Trey went down with the knee injury, our first conversation about it was, can you stay afloat till Trey gets back? And they've done more than that.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, this team – any team that leads the league in assist when you have the player that usually leads the league in assist by himself, that's great ball movement. Great ball movement and great shot making. Because in order to have a lot of assists, you got to make shots.
That's a huge part of why this is happening,
you know,
too.
You got to make shots.
Trey led the league in assists last year.
Yes.
And there's times in his career here where he could have had a couple more a game.
Yeah.
They just didn't have shooters.
Yes.
Like, they didn't have guys that could defend on the perimeter, and they didn't have guys that could make open threes. Now, there's four or five guys that if you leave, including Onyeka Okongwu and Trey. I mean, Trey, hopefully, his shooting will uptick as well. I know last year wasn't his best shooting year from three. But there's four or five guys on this team that if you leave them open, like you're toast.
And his ability to break down defense is just like Jaylen Johnson's ability to get into the paint, have the defense converge on him, kick it out to his teammates. But the most important thing about that, just like we just said, can you make the shot? Can you make the shot? And they are doing a great job of that. We talked about Big O on Monday. I mean, the way he's shooting the ball, it's been really good, Andy, but it wasn't one of the things where he's not just, and you said it, I think you might have said it Monday, he's just not in the corner kick. He is doing it with people running at him and doing all those things. And we know how great of a playmaker that Jaylen Johnson has been since Trey's been gone.
I think that's the best thing that's happened is, and Nikhil Alexander Walker sort of taking on this role.
I didn't know how good he was. I knew he was a good player.
How could you? He averaged 9 points a game coming off the bench in Minnesota. Like, and he had a nice run in the playoffs. I think it was last year.
Yes.
But still, how could you? He didn't have the opportunity to show it. He's taken this chance with Trey out, and also just they were going to have more of an opportunity for him anyway.
Right.
Given that
he was going to be the number one guy off the bench.
Yeah. Now he'll probably go back to being that.
Yes.
Which is where you get some of that bench scoring. But I think Jaylen Johnson's ability to make plays in the half court is the best thing for this team because Trey's always had the ability to do that, but when they start throwing bodies at him, that's when the Hawks have bogged down,
right?
Especially in the playoffs, right, and play-in games and stuff like that. Now, if they start doing that, you just give it to Jaylen, and then the next thing we'll see, because Trey is a very good catch-and-shoot shooter.
Yes.
He just play the ability to get open in the half court.
Right.
Because a lot of times he'll give it up, and then he's just kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
Move around a little bit. A couple screens, whatever, get down to the corner and make those shots, because he doesn't have a ton of there's not like a huge sample size of it, but his catch and shoot 3-point percentage is top 5 in the NBA.
And that's going to be so big.
Yeah.
That's going to be big for this team because, like you said, if you can get Trey off the ball, that helps his offense because it gives him an opportunity to get. I mean, not saying nobody wants, not giving him a rest, but it's taking all the attention away from him.
It should be a huge bonus.
Like, you got to find Trey before you know where he is. Mm-hmm. He's going to be at the top of the key with the ball. Now, okay, where is he at? Is he over here? Is he on the elbow? Is he there?
Yeah. If it plays out like that, they unlock something for the offense, which is fun.
Sports Radio 99 The Game is your football action this holiday season. Join us tonight following the Hawks game for the Xbox Bowl between Arkansas State and Missouri State. It is all brought to you by the Georgia Department of Juvenile Justice. Get hired today. Apply at djj.georgia.gov. Holiday season, Expo tonight, following the Hawks game.
First hour of the show is brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll come back and get into an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. College Football Corner at 12:20 as well. Continue to break down the playoff games. One Friday, three on Saturday. So we'll get to all of that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.